Welcome to Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio host, Fran Silverman. And this show is on cruises, and I'm very happy to have my guest today, Bill Dean, an investigative journalist, who for 30 years was an assignment editor at CBS News. He's a daily blogger at OurMissingNews.com, author of Smooth Criminal, and a popular speaker aboard cruise ships. Bill, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure. Hello, Francine.
Hi. Bill, you're a speaker on different topics, but the most attended, you wrote, where virtually the whole ship piled into the theater, was Hollywood Murders, which is no surprise, but in your blog, you scoff at the public's interest in Hollywood gossip over current events, and yet you had more interest in that subject than any others. How do you reconcile this with your interests?
Well, I didn't do the Hollywood murders. It was the assistant district attorney who was on board one of these cruises. I think it was RCI. RCI is Royal Caribbean International, mm-hmm. and compared to RCCL, it's actually the same company, but if they go into the Caribbean, they become RCCL. It's a very good, well-run line, and my show on Smooth Criminal, One Man American Crime Wave, is a true story. But and we had a lot of interest of about the eight speakers. I'd say that I was number two there. We had maybe 450 people attending, but standing room only went to the the assistant district attorney, because he was able to, in Hollywood Murders, he was able to give some exclusive information. Such as it took 5 hours before the coroner was called on Marilyn Monroe's death, and he said, and I had never heard this before, that there wasn't one fingerprint left in that little apartment where she lived, or that little house. He had some inside information like that. And
so the assistant district attorney really pulled in the crowd, because you're saying...
Yeah, I guess that, I mean, when you look at it, you can see that that would be something that people would really be interested in. And he did it, he had about four shows or five shows, and I had six. I enjoy talking to the audience. You have to be careful, particularly with my subject, because you've got people that are listening to Fox, and they're very, very, very opinionated, and they hear it. They're retired, and they got plenty of time, and they listen for 6 hours, and they get so much hatred built up in them. So it's quite a challenge, but I've never really had any real problem. But
are you talking about your talks?
No, I'm talking. Yes, I'm talking about yes.
Yeah, in crime. Doing,
I'm sorry.
You speak on crime.
Yes. Well, I was speaking on the news and why we're not getting it at that time when I was on the cruise ships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now I've written a book called Smooth Criminal, A One-Man American Crime Wave. I was investigating during this period, but I didn't have it ready. In fact, I haven't been doing cruises the past year because I've been just too busy putting this book together. It's now out and available, but it really doesn't have that much to do with cruise ships, and I know that we want to talk about that.
Yeah, when did you begin to talk on cruises?
2008.
2008. So what did you learn from being on these cruises?
Well, I enjoyed it, number one. And there are problems. If we have some listeners who are interested in doing that, I would suggest that you try to overcome some of the potential problems. For example, if you've got a show like I had over 600 slides and 40 movies, in the seven shows that I could do, you have to make sure that the technician is there. And I mean, on a lot of shows, people just get up and talk, and you really don't need a technician, so they can be used to one show or another kind of show. And when your show comes up, and if it's complicated, you got to make sure that they stay. And I had a problem a couple of times. One time, the loudspeaker came on when we were doing the show. And it was so loud, it was practically blasting our ears in the middle of the show. I'm sorry?
The captain was making an announcement?
It was somebody for the captain.
Oh.
and he just loved to hear himself talk. And it went on and on and on. And the kid who was supposed to be my technician, he had gone off someplace and was looking at the water or something.
Oh, and, so that's a drawback. Because do you always use slides in movies to supplement your talks?
Oh, I use slides. One thing I should say before I forget it, if somebody's doing this, PowerPoint is terrific for slides, but don't try to mix movies. I learned the hard way. You have to go to Keynote, KEYNOTE, and then you can mix them. I found PowerPoint works just beautifully for slides. You can put 1,000 slides, you won't have any problem. But if you mix it, as I did, you gotta do Keynote. And also, you can move things around with Keynote, and in PowerPoint, it's difficult. It was actually the fourth format that I used. So go to Keynote, and maybe, I'm talking about 2 years ago, maybe Apple has come up with something even later. Before something comes out, it seems like it's outdated these days.
Do you think that every speaker should use these Keynotes?
I actually, I've been in the business of audiovisual and news, television, and so forth from the time I was in college. I think that in lots of cases, it's really, they expect it today. That's what I should say. I would really like to stand up there and just talk. But today, because we don't read books the way we should, the way we used to, I think there's a correlation between reading books and listening. And people want to see flash, flash, flash today. And I saw it when I started at CBS. We would think nothing about running a 30-second cut on somebody, and now you have to run 10-second, 5-second cuts, 2-second cuts, and because I say it comes from the Sesame Street generation, that flash, 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 and that's the way people learn today. So you have to go with it, and I willingly go with it. As I say, I got over 600 slides. And
yeah, well, now that you have a book out, you wish more people would read.
absolutely. That's what I really want. I think that we're missing something. This is superficial, a lot of this, and that you just put in some pictures. They just have to put in pictures. And I got to say, the truth is that the evening news sometimes will cancel or marginalize a story because they don't have pictures with it. And that to me is a crime.
Bill, do you do the same talks over and over? Because I think it was a guy who books speakers on cruises who said that speakers should have at least 5 different topics to talk about.
Well, my topics are within the realm of news and why we're not getting it. And I do one on Edward R. Murrow, who's really the founder and the creator of broadcast news. And I've gotten into the FCC and so forth. But I entertain too. I get some crazy comments from senators and so forth. You can't believe that they had said what they said. And so I do these and all of these cruise lines, except maybe the Queen Mary or something, want infotainment, entertainment, and education at the same time. And it's a challenge, but I like to meet that challenge.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying that they want entertainment and they want
you to communicate something of value in an entertaining way.
Oh, I see. So in other words, current events is certainly something that people are interested in.
Yes, and also
your topic was the umbrella of the different topics that you spoke on. In other words, like
that's correct.
You spoke on Edward R. Murrow, then another.
I also did Kennedy. A lot of the assassination was one show, and that had a lot of interest. So
now, what cruise ships did you go on?
Well, if I can help people here, I don't know if it's necessary, but it took me a long time to get this list, and I wrote up a list. If you want me to give some context here for people, I'd be glad to do that. I've done Voyager of the Seas. I've done in Holland America the Rotterdam, which is one of its biggest, and the Present Dam, which is the smallest. And that's kind of interesting. The line would like to get rid of the Present Dam, the small ship, but there are people that just love it. There's only like 800 passengers on it, and they get special attention. But it costs the line a lot more to put a ship out there with 800 passengers compared to one that you can put 3,500 on. The line does it only because the public has demanded they like that little ship. I've been on both of them, the Rotterdam and Amsterdam. They joke about it and they call it the damn ships. They're all they all end in dam.
They're from Holland, right?
Yes, that's right. Actually, it's interesting that it got its name Holland America because 100 years ago they were bringing Europeans over to the United States as refugees.
So are all cruise ships created equal? I mean,
do they give you
the same accommodations?
No. It's kind of funny that Carnival now owns Holland America. And Holland America only gave in and said, you know, we're going to continue. You're not going to be able to tell us what to do. Carnival is basically known for families. And I'm sure that there are ships that maybe Carnival ships that are singles-only cruises and things like that. But the majority of Carnival, as far as I can determine, are families. And you get kids running up and down the aisles at 3 in the morning and squirting beer on one another.
Wait a minute.
So
does
forth.
Carnival have speakers?
Not that I know of. I've never been invited. They have people that may be clowns and do magic tricks and
stuff like that. I mean, why are we talking about Carnival?
Because you asked me if there are different ships.
No. I mean, I'm talking about the ones that you were on.
Okay, the ones specifically that I'm on are pretty similar because of my subject. You're talking about people that are willing to travel around the world for 4-month trips. Now they flew me in one time to Singapore, and I was on it for about 18 days as it went to Thailand and India, and then up to Dubai. They got rid of me. But the ship went on with these people that would be on it for another 6 weeks before they got to New York.
I was talking about in terms of the accommodations.
Accommodations for somebody like me who's speaking, who's working, is just a pretty plain little room. Little is the thing. I mean, I found that they've all been clean. But, you know, to have a palatial thing on the top deck, you do not get. You can bring a guest with you on all these cases. And, of course, you get the accommodations for free. A line like Holland America flies you in, flies you out.
They do. They pay for your...
That was from JFK through Frankfurt to Singapore, and then back from Dubai to JFK. That was the longest flight I've ever been on. I've never been to Australia. 22 hours, and I couldn't wait to get out of that. And of course, it's just passenger. It's just tourist. It's not first class. But all that's understood. You're a quasi-employee. You have to follow the rules, and yet they want you to meet people. And in some ways, it's kind of fun. I was sort of like a rock star to some people. They were following me around and asking questions.
So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about whether you're going back on cruise ships to sell your book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Don't go away.
Yeah, we're back.
Okay, we're back. Okay, Bill, do you plan on going on more cruise ships? Because I would imagine that as an author, now you would look to sell your book.
Yes. Right? It depends on the ship. And, I mean, if you got a Holland America or you got a Regency or Celebrity or one of those, you can probably find some sales. There are different rules and regulations on each line. It seems like on RCL, they're just open to you trying to sell anything. And I go on the cruise lines not with my idea. That's not my primary reason for going. My primary reason is going to explain something that I think is very important. And if under those circumstances I can sell a few books, okay. I wouldn't say that that's the best way to sell books, but I think it's, as I've been told, it's much better than going to Barnes & Noble and sitting there all day. And
yeah, no, they say that speaking is a wonderful way to sell books.
Yes. Well, speaking before a large group and different groups, yes, that's true. But if you got 400 people and it may be the same 400 people for six shows, you'll sell books, but not that many. There are better ways to do it if you can get a larger audience.
Okay, your book, Smooth Criminal, A One-Man American Crime Wave.
Mm-hmm.
Was published by Muse Media this
mm-hmm.
year. Is Muse Media a...
It's a full line. It's one of the new ones coming in with all the technical stuff. I mean, I don't know how to put something on Kindle.
Is it self-published or...?
Through the publisher, it is. It's on Amazon, on Kindle, and it's also in paperback, and in a month it'll be a hardback cover.
Mm-hmm.
People have a choice.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you use an agency to get these cruise gigs?
Oh, well, yes, and that's the way some of the lines want to do it themselves. Regency does it themselves, and the names of getting the people, it's quite difficult. I wound up talking to people without knowing any of them, talking to somebody and getting to talk to a CEO, and the Sixth Star is the one that works for more lines than any other that I know of. And they were so surprised. They said, "How did you find out?" They said, "Didn't you know that's a CEO that's connected to the company?" And I had to make a lot of calls, and I just accidentally got to talk to this guy, and we took a liking to each other, and he gave me the number. They don't want a million people calling, but I have numbers, and I can help anybody if they want.
No, because there are agencies. There are
yes.
Companies.
Well, these are agencies, and I say some of them are part of the line. Like Holland America does it on its own out of Seattle, and so you go to Holland America. But Sixth Star takes care of several lines, mainly RCI, RCCL. And they are a very efficient operation. I have numbers, and I could help anybody if they want.
Is it always the same company for all the cruise ships?
Oh, they switch around. They switch around. And the number one customer, as far as I know, of Sixth Star is RCCL. But there are a lot of ships out there, RCCL, going all over the world.
Are there any particular areas of the world we should avoid on cruise ships?
Well, you know, I was in the off of Egypt on one of these, and they had guns, AK-47s and so forth, and they told us to stay inside. This is when they were coming into the area with and raiding ships, but they didn't raid any passenger ships. But they didn't know that wouldn't happen. They were after the freight ships and so forth. It seems like we have it pretty well under control. They told us at one point that they might divert, and then they decided that they'd go through.
Funny, because I had a guest who runs cruise ships along the Nile, and she said, and she's half Egyptian and half Italian, and she said, I said, doesn't the political situation affect your business? And she said, no, well, not really.
Well, I think that they are very, very careful about their passengers. They don't want any bad publicity. You know, look at the publicity they got with the sinking of that Italian ship off of Italy. I mean, they do not want that. And they are very, very careful. And they notified us that they might have to go, they might not go down Africa that way. And but they did, and I've seen it where they've come into port where they have gunboats out there with police on it. So they are extremely careful. I wouldn't worry too much about. Of course, we.
So are there any particular areas of the world we should avoid?
I think that the cruise lines are aware, and they will decide. And I put my hands in the. In there, I put.
So, in other words,
when
you're on a
hands.
Cruise ship, you should feel relatively safe.
I think you should definitely feel safe.
And what kinds of people have you met on cruise ships?
Well, I think that's really interesting. The one that's outstanding is when we came from the Mediterranean over to the Caribbean, and then up to Bermuda. I ran into a guy on ship. He was from World War II, and when we went to the Azores, I mean, I had heard of the Azores my whole life, but I knew it was in the middle of the Atlantic, but I had never met anybody that ever went there or anything. And he told me that in World War II, that he was on one of these Liberty ships. The Liberty ships, they actually made some of them in one day. They had to get the equipment and supplies and the troops over to England. And they actually made a Liberty ship in one day, but there were over 1,000 of them. Well, he was on one of these. These were freighters that were carrying equipment and troops. And he happened to be on this one, and they had a problem, and so they stopped at the Azores. At that time, it belonged to Portugal, and it was neutral. You know, Spain and Portugal were not in World War II. So they went. That was a place for them to come in and get the ship repaired. And at the same time, it was neutral for the Germans. So in comes a German submarine. And they were joking. The German submarine crew, the captain was saying, you know, you take that crate out there and we'll blow it up tomorrow. And they were laughing and drinking and having a good time among each other. And in a few days, that ship went out there. And,
he didn't blow it up. One of the most interesting people you met.
Yeah.
Bill, we have only a few minutes left, so I just want to tell people that anybody interested in hearing you talk on your book should type in Smooth Criminal Bill Dean and click the YouTube link.
That's right. 36 minutes of me.
And once again, go to ourmissingnews.com to read Bill's take on released criminals into society. I think we're coming up to the end of the show. I'm a little confused because I didn't set my stopwatch exactly right, but I think it's time.
Okay.
I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. You're very interesting.
Well, it was a pleasure. We could keep this going for hours, you know.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe we'll have you back sometime.
Okay.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. You've been listening to Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio host, Fran Silverman. And today we were speaking with Bill Dean, and he was with CBS News for 30 years. So he was an interesting speaker aboard cruise ships because he speaks on crime and how the criminals are released into society, and he talks about the news that nobody knows about, and he talked about which cruise lines take speakers, like Holland America, and the Rotterdam, and the Voyager, and anybody wanting to speak on these cruises, it's always helpful to know which cruise lines are booking cruise speakers. He didn't specify which agency he uses, but you just have to do a little investigation. Okay, happy cruising. Mm-hmm.